Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Man Up the Movement. This is the relaunch 2022 and the foundation has been set. We're calling all men to join the discussion. Come on, let's keep it real. Young, medium, old, all, big, small, whatever color as a man, come on and join the movement. Man up simply means now is my time to fight. Number one, that I'm taking personal responsibility for my own life. Number two, that I'm no longer relying on my personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. Number three, my steps are ordered by the Lord. Number four, I'm walking in purpose with God. Number five, I'm holding myself accountable, dedicated, and committed to a life of constant change and growth. I am no longer operating with a double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am called according to my purpose, and I am the God in me through Jesus Christ. Now, everybody say, man up. Well, welcome, family. God bless you for joining us tonight. We know many of you online. We know many of you may come in a minute. If you are willing to get in this discussion tonight, I need you to call 319-527-6173. Again, get offline. I know you pushed that little link and you're listening to us online. If you want to get in this conversation tonight, dial 319-527-6173. Dial 1 as you get in the queue, and we will bring you in our intermission and our questioning answer mode. But tonight is an awesome night for Man Up because we're continuing to break the age barriers. We're continuing to step farther than we've ever been before, and we're also allowing God to use us in a way like we've never been used before. So tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to open up the man's table. We're going to open up the discussion to that we can really talk to each other, and it may be simple to some, it may be easy to some others, but it's going to be very, very important because it shows us that we're all just alike and we all operate with the same issues, even though we know we've been through some and some haven't yet. So it doesn't make us any better, but it makes us more equipped. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. How do we become equipped as men? Young men, old men, elder men, whatever you want to call us, but men in general, how do we really become effective in our lives? How do we really become effective in the things God has called us to do? And for us to stand by that, and for us to really be held accountable to that, that we know for ourselves, we're looking at ourselves in the mirror and we're saying, hey, I must do better. So without any further ado, we're going to take a short intermission song. We're going to listen to Brother Yukon tonight. We're going to talk about Serve You. After that selection, you will now hear from the man table. Get ready.
I want to be like Daniel. Yeah. I want to be like Paul. Hey.
I just want to serve you.
When I'm serving, that means I'm giving you the best I can.
I just want to serve you.
I'm
going
to serve you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm doing everything
I can
that
for
I can.
Forever, I'm going to need your help.
I done came a long way. I done did a lot of dirt. You can say I'm a survivor. I am here to give you church. I'm just trying to fill his purpose. I'm just trying to make it work. I'm just happy to be forgiven and forgive those who I've hurt. Lord, only you know what I go through when I'm all by myself. I can't do this by myself. No, forever I'ma need your help. Forever I'ma be of service. Tell my story just to let you know I worship you. Before when it went on this earth, I'm committed to you first. We are the body of Christ. He is the one sacrificed. He is the one who can lead you to freedom. Will never mislead you the way into life. Yeah. Fresh out the book of Revelations, I am the soul of a nation. I am my own motivation. Dynasty Gold is my baby. We sitting with Jesus. Finna eat with the believers. Finna reap what we've been sowing for seasons. It is our time and he is the reason. Give us a sign. Father, we need you. Your love is everything I wanted. You tell me do it and I'm on it. I promise you will get the glory.
I just wanna serve you.
Father, I love you, 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 I love you.
I just wanna serve you.
I need you, 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 I need you.
I just wanna be a better person, be a better man, be there for my daughter, be a family man.
You know what I go through when I am alone.
You know what I go through when I am alone.
Father, I need you, can't do this alone.
Father, I need you, can't do this alone.
I am a living testimony, walking miracles. Pinnacle, spiritual, from the village, I can feel it, can you feel it? This is part of my healing.
Part of my healing.
It's time that we build a bigger building. It's time that we be there for our children. Yeah. It's time that we teach them how to love and show them how to feel it. See, all of my life, I've been running from myself. Now that I found Christ, I'm so glad I found Christ. He was with me when I fell, with me in the cell, with me when everybody was in hell. He is the one who brought me back to life. He is the reason for my sacrifice. I am a prophet speaking prophecy. Men on a mission, ain't no stopping me. Was given the vision to behold and possibly change all our consciously. If you really love him, follow me. Cause greater he is who's inside of me. And greater you are, if you let him lead you to your freedom, you can be reborn.
Man, you know what I'm saying? God save me. High off your own drugs and falling out. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't do it without him. You know what I'm saying? So I gave my life to him. So now I'm committed to serving his people. Man, praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Somebody is man up. Well, we are at the table. Come on, y'all. Tell everybody good evening, this good afternoon or good evening, wherever they may be. Say hello.
Good afternoon. Zion.
His mouth is full.
Good afternoon.
Well, the old man over there is caught up chewing. That might have been a bad idea bringing food out here. But anyway, welcome to right. Man Up, the movement. We are here at the table. Hope I don't have to turn that music back on loud. But anyway, God bless you guys for being with us tonight. If someone could text someone and tell them to turn that music off next door, I would be a blessing to that. But anyway, we're here to talk. We're here to really open up the discussion table here. At the Now Church California, at P2P Community Development, and in your homes. And I want to make this
this invitation to anyone out there that if you are inspired or if you're touched in a way that you want to talk to us tonight, come on, dial one, get in the conversation, and we're going to have that, that what God says, and we're going to talk good at the men's table. You're at the men's table tonight. What's
man
up?
Man up.
How you doing? Bro, you got to speak up, bro.
I'm good.
Tell everybody who you are.
Zion. I'm the co-host.
Amen.
Michael J. Netherly Sr., a.k.a. Rockbox. Baby!
Michael J.
Jr.,
a.k.a. Super Mike.
Oh! We're already learning something new. Super Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Who's Super Mike?
A nickname of mine.
Nickname of yours, but who is Super Mike?
Another ego of me.
Another ego. Ooh, ego. Maybe we have a topic tonight. Ego. Another ego of yours. All right, and I'm Pastor E. I am the host of this dynamic broadcast, and I'm just glad to have friends here with me tonight that we can talk. Ego. Let's talk about that. How about we go? See, sometimes people just like, you know, you're going to give me your own opinion. Let's see what you guys believe in definition. You know. Definition of ego is a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. So it's a noun, and it's not bad to have ego because it's a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. Ooh, that's great there. Because if you think about your own self-esteem and you care about that, that means that you always want to be positive. And you care about nobody can tell me nothing negative. If you know me, I don't care how bad you talk, I'm going to always stand on the promises of God that says I am a child of God. And that's holding up my self-esteem.
Right.
But if I hold up my self-importance, it's all about me. What you say?
Yeah.
You going to talk about?
This is mine. This is this, you know.
Yeah, self-esteem is when you know you're important. Self-importance is when you need somebody to tell you're important. Do you deal with ego, Zion? Mm-hmm. Ego can be thinking I'm all that. Self-esteem?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay, sometimes, tell the truth.
Sometimes I'd be thinking like, I'm all that, but in reality, it's not like that. There's always somebody better than you. There's always somebody on a higher level better than you.
But how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I could do better. I could do better to get on a higher level than them.
Okay. What about self-importance? You deal with that?
Like with me, Mike.
Like you, me first?
Sometimes, about me first.
Hey, look, this is the men's table.
You look at it like this. You know, ego could be a lot of ways. Like, I'm going to get mine. Yeah. Or it's all about you, or, you know, selfish.
Yeah.
A selfish attitude or whatever. It's the difference between, you know, self-esteem and being selfish. You know what I'm saying? You know, because self-esteem is like having a certain pride for yourself, you might say, or whatever, but when you're selfish, it's like, you know, it's a whole nother level because it's just all about you when you're supposed to be serving others. When we men of God now or whatever, we're supposed to be serving others. So you got
to
know the difference.
You really need to be about yourself all the time.
To tell you the truth, to be successful, when I start not worried about me at all is when I start seeing some things work in my life.
Amen.
Okay, so ego.
Yeah,
ego.
Okay, well, another ego.
Not preaching you.
Yeah, got you. Oh, yeah, well, I've been a rock box since I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know.
Who was rock box?
Rockbox. I'm Rockbox from the original Ryan Rocker production crew, Linwood, California, if y'all don't know. I turned it into a label way back in 98 in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered a record deal, and it didn't go through. So I told the people, the next time you ever hear me, I have my own. So I've been independent ever since 98 till now with the music. But Rockbox, I'm a rapper, beatbox, executive producer, promoter, publisher, mentor, even acting sometimes a little bit. But
what?
Oh yeah, I done it a little bit, you know. So that's rock box, but you know, but during the year.
But you said something really distinctive. I want you to touch on this because you say you've been rock box since 13.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that rock box.
Okay. Well, I could. Well,
let's
I'll
talk about that
now.
Rock box
okay,
today.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk about Goldie today.
Okay, gotcha, okay.
And I've been Goldie since I was 9.
Okay, gotcha, right.
So we got to talk about Goldie today because,
okay.
You know, we got to kind of go back and not pass the E today. We
okay.
Get the men's table.
Okay, okay.
Let's go back.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Little rock box.
Okay, yeah, little rock box. Well, I got the name rock box from Audubon Junior High. I was up there beatboxing and stuff, and I had a friend that used to break dance. His name was Ice Rock. And he used to always call me Rock Box, so it kind of stuck. And so, you know, through the years, you know, I was known for, you know, battling. You know, we used to battle against him. Venice Beach. I go to different high schools all over California.
Okay.
And, you know, battling, you know, and made a name for myself. You know what I mean? Rock Box, you know, sometimes I would whoop up two or three people.
Okay.
At one time. And then I've always been a double threat. I could rap and I could beatbox.
Okay.
So I've always done both, you know.
He was crushing.
Yeah, man. And like my first year at Linwood High, I tore everybody up. You know what I'm saying? Freshman year, you know.
He's still proud of that.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I won the talent show 3 years in a row up in Linwood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I won it 3 years in a row. I had got a spot with K-Day, 1580 K-Day back then when they was on AM.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I used to, what they perform in Knoxville with Rory Kaufman, DJ Battlecat, Preston Curl, Idol King, all them, you know, back in the day. And I used to beatbox for this dude named Carl Delight. He only had one leg, you know what I'm saying, or a prosthetic or whatever, but he could go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it never stopped him, you know.
But that young rock box.
But the young rock box.
Was he sold out? Was he doing the right things? And I mean,
no, not all the time. No, you know, I'm gonna tell you the truth, and this is the
that's
truth.
What we want. We want the truth.
Okay. You know, I got tired of being good. You know, oh, he a good boy, or whatever. Everybody had a story of being crazy and all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Or whatever. So, I, you know, for a while, I mean, you know, I played sports and everything. For Linwood, I played basketball and everything. But the last year in high school, I tried the gangbang. I got jumped on a Friday night going to Julian.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed on Cedar. Headed to the store, get my Hunter RC soda. You know what I'm saying? And I got jumped. I didn't know who it was at the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I still got to the store and got my RC soda, you know what I'm saying? But the whole family came, you know. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the history of the family itself. But
yeah, all that, yeah. Well, of course, your family, something like that happens.
Yeah. So they come up with everything, and you know, we roll around, see who it was or whatever. And it wasn't them, and nobody was out in the first place, thank God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to school Monday and found out who it was. And so after that, I was like, nah, I ain't going to go through this no more. So,
so they whooped the gang out of you. You got the gang whooped out of you.
Well, no, I ended up joining after that.
You got put in after that. Okay.
And I was like, if I go through this again, I'm going to have some backup. That was my deal because everybody else was having it, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And you must have been, hey, no, let me do.
I'm just saying, you know, at the time.
Yeah, I know.
But at the same time, to let you know how the Lord works, the Lord kept me busy, too. So remember, I was still doing the K-Day thing. So I never had time to be in the hood too much. I was being there every once in a while. But so they started, you know, I was part of it or whatever. But it was like he's our entertainment, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, you know. And then situation happened. And then I'm guilty by association now.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And everybody that moved out of town now was part of it. I'm the only one there still in Linwood. So everybody after me every day. I got to run and hide and all that stuff. So thank God my father came through. He came through one morning.
Come on now.
Yeah, he came through one morning. He was like, man, he say, I've been hearing about what's going on and what you're doing and everything. He say, you ain't got no record or nothing. Won't you go see the world? So I was like, what you talking about, you know? He said, why don't you go see the world, you know? I was like, he said, it's more than just L.A. You ain't never left here. You don't even know what it is to be out of here or nothing, you know? So he was like, go to the military. And then he told me he was in the military. I did not know. I've been knowing my daddy all my life. I didn't even know he was in the military.
Really?
Nah, I didn't even know. Korean War vet, too.
You okay, know. So your daddy stepped in on the back end and said, no, son, this is what you need to do.
Man, I went that Friday. I already had a recruiter talking to me in the first place, but that was part of the mix on at the time, you know.
Exactly.
And I actually knew him, too. I grew up with him before Compton. And I joined or whatever, did my oath and everything, and I left around about November.
I gotta put this in there because you're in the military, right? In training, when you're out in the field, who did you eat dinner with?
Who did I eat dinner with?
Yeah.
Flies, bugs, mud, a fly landed on my pineapple.
Yeah, man, rice. So that's a good testimony because that ultimately changed your life because if you stayed in the hood, even though you weren't down, something could have happened.
Yeah.
And you had to call on them, and if you called on them, you stuck in.
Yeah,
If they ever had to ride for you, you was in.
Right. Yeah. So it was like I was basically just looking for backup for my backup at the time.
Okay. Cool.
And
you ended up getting some real backup. The army.
With the war and everything, I found out I was going to war on my birthday.
Okay. All right. So, Michael Jr., do you deal with ego?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Good or bad? Self-assurance or self-importance?
Good.
Always good.
Sometimes good, a little bad, mostly good.
Okay, speak up a little bit so everybody can hear you. But you ain't perfect.
Yeah, I ain't. No one's perfect.
That's true. God is. But anyway, so when you're dealing with self-importance, as we talked about me, what kind of things is that? Family issues or just life issues?
Family issues.
Mom's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you and Dad, y'all cool.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. Y'all be going at it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that might be under the category of self-importance because, I don't want to go far. I'm just keep self-importance. Okay, but in the self-esteem part, when you're feeling discouraged and maybe things aren't going right, how do you get yourself motivated to say, no, I'm still good. I can still do it.
I go outside. I breathe in the air.
Okay.
And I realize not everything's going to be bad.
Okay.
Something's going to happen good to me.
Okay. But you separate yourself. I like that part. You separated yourself from an issue and know how to separate. A lot of people don't know how to separate. Mm-hmm. If I just would have not said that last word, the fight would never happen. If I wouldn't have called him that, I would have never, because I probably just left it alone at that point. That last, have always got to have the last word is what I'm really trying to say. In my testimony is because I couldn't let nobody get the last word. And normally it was just saying, okay, cool. And I still had to say something smart and it ended up being a fight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't have good separation at a young age. But for me, man, I grew up, it watched. And back then, it wasn't no Caucasian white people or Hispanic people in Watts. Mm-hmm. It was all black. Mm-hmm. And we moved there in 1969.
Okay.
On 124th and Willowbrook.
Right.
I went to Martin Luther King Elementary School, and I was the only light-skinned. They called me white boy, but because I had straight hair, you know, and all that. And my mother used to part my hair like Elvis, like right here.
Yeah, got you.
And I liked Elvis, so I was cool with it. But when we moved to Watts, because we used to live in San Fernando Valley in Pacoima.
Gotcha, yeah.
And Pacoima is white.
Yeah,
But mixed families. Uh-huh. And my mother was light-skinned.
Gotcha.
And my dad was dark-skinned, okay. You know. But he was 26 years in the Air Force, retired.
Yeah,
a gunny sergeant, you know, big check. He had a check always.
Yeah.
But he wanted to start a church.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't start a church in Pacoima because Andre Krause then was out there.
Okay,
and,
right.
And we went to that church. He was friends with them.
Yeah.
But to start his own church, he moved to Watts in the inner city. And so we now moved from that environment to there. And
okay.
I had to deal with that. Well, I didn't know how to fight.
Yeah.
When I moved from Pacoima, we played.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
When you moved to Watts, man, you
yeah,
you get challenged
yeah.
every day,
yeah.
you know. And I had to grow up fast. And then I got chased a lot, you know, because I was only one on my block. I have a brother, I had a sister, and she was already in junior high school.
Uh-huh.
So, but they kept her in John F. Kennedy out in the valley.
Right, got you. Uh-huh.
He was taking her to school because he still worked at J.C. Penney. But anyway, long story short, I had to fight, man, to become just relevant in there because nobody cared about me out there. But mm-hmm. a couple of dudes in my neighborhood used to see me get chased and say, "Bro, if you ever." Let me see you run home again. I'm like, "What you mean, man?" And he's like, "Eight of them chasing me." He said, "Well, we gonna get you." And they went to Ralph Bunch, junior high school.
Yeah.
And said, "Nah, bro, we gonna beat you. You run off. You live on our block." And I used to try to hang with them, but they wouldn't let me come down there after school and stuff.
Yeah.
I would creep down there, but they would throw rocks at me. And anyway, mm-hmm. long story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, "Well, I don't know. It's too many." And they said, "Come here." They took me in the garage and showed me what to do. And number one thing was to find out whoever was the one who talked the most.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long story short, got through that. And then my life was just fights.
Yeah.
I just mm-hmm. fought because everybody called me white boy.
Yeah.
And that was my mechanism to fight.
Right.
And good in sports, good in school, smart in school, but I didn't listen to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest downfall, if I can say over and over and over again. And I'm not just saying that because I want y'all to listen to your parents, mothers and fathers. Mm-hmm. I did not listen to my father. He used to tell me I was born. I done jumped over that hoop being times. Don't bust your head. Mm-hmm. But I had to bust my head for myself. My mother used to say, "Son, don't do that. Don't you see that? They're waiting for you to come out there and do that." And I would still do it. And so that's my biggest detriment was not listening to my parents. But then I had to grow up fast because I was rebellious. And it was either at my daddy's house, it's like, "You live under this roof, you're going to do this. And if you don't, you're going to get out this roof." And
yeah,
it came to that point.
Yeah.
I was a senior in high school, and with all the athletic ability I had, all the college opportunities I had, all the opportunities that I had through him, I ran and joined the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was enlisted in the Air Force because he said, "Well, if you're going to go to service, go to the Air Force." Mm-hmm. They got all the new technology. They got all this, and I didn't listen to him again.
Right.
I got mad at him, and I'm walking to the Air Force recruiter, but the Marines was the first one. And
right.
they always see me because I was a big athlete, bro. I played ball.
Yeah, yeah.
"Hey, man, come here, man." And they start telling me about the Corps, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't regret the Corps life because the Corps taught me a lot about being accountable.
Yeah. Right.
It taught me a lot about being committed and doing what I say I'm going to do. It taught me a lot of discipline.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't teach me a lot of technical, a lot of schooling. It paid for school afterwards, but it didn't. But I listened, and I was mad at my dad one day, and I was going down there. And that sergeant stopped me, and he said, "Bro, look, I could get you this and this and this," and they offered me the world. I was going to be, and I was the guy in boot camp, right? And I did get opportunities. I did get a good, he promised me that I would go anywhere I put on, my first choice I put on there, I would go, and Hawaii was my first choice. I ended up in Hawaii.
Right, absolutely.
Westpac, all that, got out, and it just didn't pay. Had to go back to school, but I got into the life. I went to jail, and I still didn't listen to my parents because they were telling me then, "Boy, take that money and invest it in this."
Uh-huh.
And I'm listening to the homies in the hood that now I'm back, and I'm beast mode, choking people out and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, "Bro, with that 36 racks, man, we can get this and be on." And it was on.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that was another roller coaster in life. But one day, when it was all said and done, I was able to confess my sins and say I did wrong. I didn't went to prison, did my time, turned myself in, did my time, got out, and got my life in order. And started listening to my parents. They were dead. And I had to go back to memories to hear them. I had to pray to God, "Lord, remind me what my mother used to tell me. Remind me what my dad used to tell me," because I didn't listen to them, and I really regretted it. But now today, I can say faithfully that changed my life and put me in a position that I can help others change theirs.
Yeah, right.
Got and it started with ego. What a good.
Yeah, right.
Let it go, Junior.
Yeah,
great
right.
topic, bro. Great topic. Ego. But when you go past ego, And you say, well, I can beat this ego thing because I'm going to be more about my own self-esteem. Because remember, you can never just stop something. Remember that. Say, I can't just stop.
Yeah, we just can't stop. Yeah.
If people say cold turkey, I guarantee you they're going to end up back. People who smoke cigarettes, they say, I'm done smoking cigarettes. As soon as somebody light one. Uh-huh. And that goes for anything else. I'm going to stop eating chicken. Let somebody fry some chicken. I'm going to eat some chicken. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But remember this. If you ever want to change something in your life, you must replace it with something better.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if I was a liar, what do I do to stop lying?
Replace it with the truth.
Replace it with telling the truth. If I cheat, what I do? Replace it with not cheating. If I steal, replace it because I want us to just get this truthfully on the man table tonight. That no matter what it is you've done, it's all the same. I might have went to prison for whatever I did, and you didn't. That doesn't make my sin worse than yours.
Right. So, yeah.
Just because I got a record, and it, you know, they can run it back, try to say, oh, you were in prison back in 1900. That doesn't make sin any worse for me than it does you.
Because if you break one law, you break them all.
Well, it's sin is sin to God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we're serving God, not man. Because man going to give you a 10-year sentence. You're going to do every day. Whether in jail and then on parole and then probation and all that to finish out that 10-year sentence. But God's, in God's realm, when God gives you freedom, you are free and you're free indeed from not what you are doing now, but what you used to do. You get what I'm saying? So say this with me. To change a habit.
Change a habit.
I must replace it.
I must replace it.
A good habit.
With a good habit.
No, let's change that. A better habit.
A better habit.
And we always got to be conscious to know that there's something better. So no matter what is done, I'm putting this on the table tonight, no matter where you've been and what you've done wrong, you can change it by doing what?
The right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like my instance, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes and weed. I used to smoke them at the same time like this all the time. But, you know, I tried some different stuff before I actually just quit. You know, the first deal I had to do was stop buying them, buying everything, from the weed to the cigarettes. I had to quit buying. So if I got it, somebody gave it to me. I didn't go buy it. Mm-hmm. That was the deal. That was the first thing, you know. And then I got tired. I don't like asking nobody for stuff. So I was getting myself out of that position. And then one day I tried to smoke a cigarette, and I felt like I had a rush that went to my head like something I couldn't control. Made me sit down. Well, and I was standing up. You know what I mean? Made me sit down. So after that, I was like, never again. Never had that feeling again.
You know, some of us got to go through real bad
situations. Yeah, so you're going to go through something.
But, you know, but we can't fix it before we get that messed up. And we make a decision to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can do. And it's great. So how would you get through? You got some food in your mouth? All right, so.
I got it. But the one thing I want to say, what I was saying reference to that is that you got to make an effort.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. If you're going to try to change something or quit something or whatever, something, you know, do something better in your life, you got to make that effort and always look at that effort. Even if you fail again, even if you go back to it, look at that effort because it's actually a positive.
See, y'all waiting for a principle tonight. I see y'all trying to get me to give a principle. I'm going to give it away free. Say repo.
Repo.
Spell this.
R-E-P-O-H.
R is repetition.
Repetition
is doing something over and over and over and over and over again. E is easy. So when you do things repetitiously, it becomes
easy.
P is pleasure. When you do things and they become easy, it becomes a pleasure.
Yeah.
When you do something that's a pleasure, you now do O often. When you do something often, you develop a habit. Repetition, easy. Pleasure, often. Habit. Repetition, easy. Pleasure, often. Habit. Repetition, easy. Pleasure, often. Habit. I gotta keep working at it.
Right. Exactly.
You ain't gonna fix it overnight.
Exactly. That. Yeah. Exactly.
I've been doing this for 59 years, and I'm still working on me.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But I'm not what I used to be.
All right. Yeah.
I sure ain't what I'm supposed to be. Because if I was who I'm supposed to be, I'd be in heaven.
Yeah.
But as long as I'm on earth, I'm gonna be what God called me to be. Oh, you didn't catch that, did you? You didn't catch that, did you? See, if I was what I used to be, I'd be nothing but dead. If I was who I was supposed to be, I was supposed to be holy and without blame.
Mm-hmm.
I was created for greatness and glory with God and worshiping him. But I'm on earth where it's hell. I got to live my day now to give him the best I can. With what? Repetition.
Easy.
Pleasure.
Often.
Habit. The more you practice football,
mm-hmm.
It gets easy, don't it? Then you get a pleasure going up, sassing the ball down. Then you do it often. You got 10 touchdowns. You only had one last year. Now you got a habit of catching what? But you had to practice.
Repetition.
And that's what most of us men out there, I want to put it on the table tonight. Most of us men fail because we don't stay in repetition. We start strong. And then we get relaxed and be like, and now I was sitting up in the chair. Now I'm leaning in the chair. Now I'm laying in the chair. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
We get so comfortable. Repetition means you got to stay working. Now, this is our intermission, our time to shift. Say shift. We're going to go from young to old.
Okay.
Now, I am the host of the first part. Now we're going to break it over and give it to our co-host, Zion. He's going to be the questionnaire and the moderator of the rest of this broadcast. Now, if you're out there and you want to get in this conversation, come on, dial one. I know we got you excited right now. You hear real talk at the man table. We at the man table tonight where we can keep it real. You want to get in that conversation, dial one. We want to hear from you. But we want to take this time to bring it in to our co-host, Zion, and let him take it from here.
How's everybody doing?
All right.
Good.
All right.
So I'll start off with asking the host a question.
All right.
So how much did repetition change your life through?
It was, when I was taught, my mentor, Al Hollingsworth. When coach, he's my coach. But when coach first, he said, son, you are great. He said, you just ain't repetition. I said, what do you mean by that? You do it, you good on Monday, but you ain't good on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then you're good on Sunday again because you need something from God. And I learned that it had to be every second, every minute, every – how many seconds? 84,600 seconds that I have to be doing the right thing. Repetition.
So repetition will bring you as how you are today?
Yes. I attest all that to that principle. If I had a chain, I got a now chain, I should have a repo chain too. Yeah.
I'm gonna ask Michael.
Okay.
So I was gonna ask you, what changed your life for you to be from how you used to be into how you are now?
God. I've always had God in my life. When I was 9 years old, I saved not too far from here. In Long Beach, right around the corner on Berry Drive. right behind Artesia. And I used to go to church with the people next door. And they were Seventh-day Adventists. And, you know, my mother was still living there, you know. I got into church early, you know, as far as that. And to the Seventh-day Adventists, faith, basically. You know, I did whatever they did, you know, for a while. And I remember used to carry my Bible. I was so happy and everything, you know, or whatever. And then it was good that we moved to Compton on Atlantic Drive, right across the bridge. We moved over to Atlantic Drive, and then it became a whole different ball game. I had to fight every day. You know, I was just like him. I was big for my size, you know what I mean? So if I fought people, they was older than me. Anybody my age, man, that was like nothing. I was like the king of the school and everything. But I wasn't like that, you know, I wasn't a big bully or nothing like that. So, you know, and then my mother passed away. And just me and my sister, and we stayed with my uncle at first, and then the crack epidemic came. It hit the whole household. We come home from school and eviction notice on the door. So my Aunt Doobie came and got us, and we ended up coming to Linwood. That's how I got to Linwood.
That's how you got to Linwood.
That's how I got to Linwood. Yeah, so.
Aunt Doobie.
Not Doobie. Rest in peace. You know?
Rest in peace.
Yeah,
yep.
You know. So that's why, you know.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael Jr.
I'm
going to ask you, how much has God been inside your life for you to be how you are today?
A lot of things. He helped me out from a lot of things. Like, back in my old neighborhood, I was like 7 or 8, and there was a flash flood happening. I was scared out of my mind because I saw dirty water on the floor, and my little brother was crying in my mom's room. So my mom started praying, and I started praying with her.
Mm.
And I had I hugged my little brother, and I just hold my brother's hands between my hands, and we started praying. And we saw the police across, so my mom had her phone, started flashing the light to them. They did not see us. So I see people outside holding a mailbox to keep their self in catch.
You're right, right.
So we go outside, out the window, because the door was just covered in water.
Yeah.
And we know that it would just take us away. So we went through the window. They put the mailbox right by the window. We had to grab on it. Me and my little brother, Jaden, we're on top of the mailbox.
Yeah.
Jaden's having fun. I'm still scared out of my mind. I'm just thinking about all the things that were inside our house that we lost everything in. And when the flood was over, we went by the town because we at the apartment, big apartment. It was right by the town. And we met our pastor over there. He just told us to keep praying.
Uh-huh.
And until we found, like, a rental house where we could live in for a few days.
Okay.
And we moved right back inside the same house that got flooded when they got rid of the water.
Right.
It flooded a few, like, 3 more times. Yeah. And I wasn't there at the time for the second part. I was at a friend's house. And the pastor, we had to go to church. The pastor just told my mom, me, and my brother in front of the church, and they all just prayed for us.
Mm.
And that's when I realized that God has different ways to help us out.
He does. He does. All right. Good answer.
Good answers to everybody. I'm going to give it back to the host.
All right. Well, that's perfect timing. So what we want to do, we want to open up the lines. If you're out there and you want to talk to us, come on, dial 1. We got time for your questions and your comments tonight here on the Now Network. Man up. Area code 626, last 4, 5790. You're live on Man Up. What's up?
You know this me, right? Right? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
You know who this is,
yes,
right?
We can.
You know who this is?
Yeah, we know who it is. Russell.
All right, then.
Hey,
well, thank you for welcoming me to the show, y'all. I got on a little late because my truck broke down. I hate that stuff. So I was stuck by the airport.
Okay.
I was stuck at the airport, you know. But however, I did catch, I caught quite a bit of it. And it's the ego, you know. You know, I studied the ego when I was in a joint, you know, when I was in the cage. I always say I was in the cage, you know, and learning and looking and paying attention, you know. And I studied about the ego. And the ego is a powerful monster, you know. The ego is yourself. So it's the battle within with that ego. And I wrote something down, and I'm gonna read that. It might not make no sense. I don't know. But I'm gonna read it like I wrote it. You know what I mean? The ego gains its power and energy by the good deeds and the bad deeds. Right? Because we know that we've been taught and we've been told and we know in our very core that we are to count it all good, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. That's what I'm saying. Now, he didn't tell us to count the bad good, the kind of bad good, the good good, the kind of bad good. He said count it all good.
All good.
So I'm just tying my understanding about the ego on what we base our very existence on, how we got here, who is responsible, or what is responsible for us being here, and it is my Lord. How about that? All right. But I'm going to read further because I got another little stanza. So the ego craves attention first and always, right?
Yep.
First and always. The ego is in control. It's about taming the ego. It's about trying, attempting, practicing, like y'all was talking about, practicing to simply sin less. To sin less. When you set out and practice to sin less, like you say, you're absolutely right. It becomes easier than nature. It becomes godlike. The godlike is perfect, always striving for the best. And that's what he give us, what makes us godlike. You know? That's my understanding. But however, I will go further. Ego teaches life lessons. When we are prayed up, stayed up, held up, you know, pushed up sometimes.
Yep.
And then we glean them life lessons from the lessons taught to us when we pray and when we learn and when we study the teachings of the Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like the story Josh was telling. It was on the Father, not the Heavenly Father, but our biological fathers and parents.
Right.
Who was taught us. You know, he told us that too, didn't he? To honor our father and mother and all that. He told us that too.
Yes.
So that is the life lesson. And if we keep them Christ-like, present with it, you're letting it work on your life. You're accepting of the gifts that he has given us. Because sometimes he gives us a gift of being stubborn. You know, that's we look at that as a bad trait. But it's not a bad trait if it's your trait. And you work your trait according to the ways that God wants you to use them. He gave them to you to use them. These are good. Okay,
and use them to the fullest.
And to the fullest, yeah. And the fullest is however you can use them. Because if you're paying attention and prayed up and stayed up and held up and pushed up, then you understand that God got his hand in this. He lets you touch it from time to time, but his hand is in this. Don't miss. Okay, I got two more. this is what I said when I realized this. Because I used to have skates on with the Lord, you know, and then we got them rollerblades. I think he gave me rollerblades. I think that's why rollerblades is a little faster. Because I was a real good runner. But yeah. I realized I was only running from myself. Hear a song by Teddy Pendergrass. You can't run from yourself. No matter y'all, yeah, y'all. Something like that. Y'all know what I mean. Oh, anyway. Back to the acceptance of the gifts that are given. You know, I'm gonna go with this. Like, you remember I know you all know the footsteps in the sand.
Right.
I didn't know that. I used to see it, but I never knew what it was. I thought it was just a pretty image. I never knew what it was till I was well in my 30s. And what I realized, what it really symbolized and what it meant to me, what it resonated, it meant everything that it meant. Because I tell you, I was 30 years in the cage, but I didn't turn into an animal. He had me all along.
That's right.
I didn't even know it. I knew it because I knew it. Because God been in me all the time. Because that's why I was able to sustain.
That's right.
You know,
he gave you the strength. Yeah.
He don't put up more on you than you can bear. And I understood that in a real way. It resonated to my very core. And with that, I started saying this to myself and others, too, because I was in the cage. And when they let us out, we bit each other. And bit each other hard like animals, y'all know. Like big animals, like bamboo, like baboons. We bite bone off, y'all know. But when they let us out of the cage, they wouldn't bite me. I was like I was thrown in the furnace, and I didn't even burn. I had a little singe on me, a little soot. But I just washed the soot up when I got out the fire. I just washed the soot out. Soot up.
Right.
You know, but I told myself, I used to go around and say this, and people used to look at me like I was stupid. I used to say, man, why not be known for your good deeds, man, instead of the bad ones? Goddamn.
Yeah. Woo, come on.
I used to say that to them. I said, let's go back to basics, man. And then I used to do that every Saturday morning. Because by the weekend, I'd be exhausted. And I would go, because I'm like I said, they wouldn't bite me. And I was a little bone, and they wouldn't bite me, though. So I would go every Saturday, and while they watch the TV, and I'd turn the cartoon. I said, we need to go back to basics, y'all. And I go with that stuff, you know, and I start doing that. And they'll laugh me out, or scare me out the way because I didn't do it too much.
But
I didn't realize, you know what I'm saying, what
the hell
is about.
Until the time for the game to come on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I get my preach on
before the game. Because once the game come on, it's over.
Right.
Yeah. I'm at my last one, y'all. Y'all get me. Look.
Yes, sir.
It's just saying, when you know these things and you understand the emotions of a human being, the human condition. You know what I mean? That's how we are to study the human condition. He gives it to us. He knows. When we know us, we know how to act. You know what I mean? However, healthy ego breeds that. It breeds love. It breeds the sentiment that we all here have. And we're all here practicing in the nurturing of this sentiment that I see on all y'all. Every time I think of y'all, every time I see y'all, every time I hear your voice, I tell you, I am glad that you are in this department with me. Right? And there you go. I am my brother's keeper. That's what the ego breeds, y'all. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got to offer y'all tonight here.
Man, hey, look, that was Rich. Mm-hmm. Rich.
I'm so glad.
Look, Zion. Your partner Zion said, yeah, that was richer than Rich.
That was God. That was God right there. That wasn't me. That was God right there.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But he and me.
Hey, you know, this is the first time I ever really, I guess, you know, heard you really, you know,
You know what I mean?
You got me un, but look, yeah, you got me un.
Uh-huh.
But nah, just the first time I just heard you just really, you know, just shared your thoughts like that for once. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
Hey, we got you sharing.
That's what's up. That's what I'm honored and appreciated.
The man up table, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hey, we appreciate you, Russell. We appreciate you, brother.
Love is there, bro.
Yes, sir. Hey, we got a couple more minutes. There may be somebody else out there that would like to chime in, or that one person that I know's listening. You don't even know this God we're talking about. You don't even know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But you ended up here tonight. Can we talk to you? We have a private green room. Myself or one of our ministers could pray with you, talk with you, and give you your startup kit where you can be in the same light that we're talking about being in, like Christ. Come on, dial 1 and come in now. Any of our covenant sisters out there got a comment? You got a chance to dial one. We got 3 minutes to give you one. Amen, amen. We're going to go around the round table. My Minister Zion, Minister Michael, Minister Michael Jr., you got 1 minute on your closing remarks. Go.
God is very good, and he actually gave me a way to rethink all my thoughts through all my life. And, yeah, hopefully my life is good from now on. Amen.
All right. I just want to say that, well, this is my last. I just want to thank the Lord for just bringing us all together today to talk about some issues, the egos and everything, and everybody collaborating, participating in the broadcast today, Lord. And I just pray that everybody gets something out of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
13 times.
Okay.
I
come on. Michael Jr.
Dang it.
Son like father.
Okay. I want to pray for my mom. She started a second job.
All right.
To get the money for her, for the bills and for groceries to feed my little brother and her. I'm all right. And I want to pray for Aunt Michelle because they working her too hard. Give her some breaks. And that's it.
That was great. That was great. We want to, well, I just want to be in agreement and show my gratitude for the team. Man up at the table tonight. We're going to continue this discussion weekly. We're going to invite men to come here. We'll go live with you. We'll get you involved. Keep you going. You'll be home. We want to keep you involved.
I know it's your last Tuesday.
But anyway, I just want to thank the listeners for being a part. And I hope you just received something from our transparency and our willingness just to share. This was not formatted. Ask anyone here. I don't have a chart of what we say for this 5 minutes, this 10 minutes, or that 15 minutes. We just let the Lord lead us that we can speak freely and leave here free earth. So I thank God for you guys. I thank God for my team. I thank God for my listeners, those that are live, those that are online. Now, those that are online, you want to talk, you just got to dial 319-527-6173. This podcast is just not a listening podcast. This is an interacting podcast that we can hear from you also. Amen?
Amen.
So, family, know that you are
loved,
honored,
and appreciated. And the best thing of all.
But the most important thing is
God's greatest miracle.
You are God's greatest miracle. Love you guys.
Peace.
I sacrificed my love, and I gave you all that I had. I gotta pray now. They ain't wanna say they love me, make me wanna drop the mic and quit the game now. Backstabbing, I'm just being honest. Sacrificing, I ain't get a dollar. Gave them love, but they don't even matter. I gave them love, and they don't even matter. How can I live and forgive? Look how they do on your kid. Get a backflip for the bread, but I lifted you higher instead. And I know that you saved me, but some people lack shady. I know I'm supposed to love my enemy, but how I do it when they right in front of me?
How can I when every time I close my eyes, I see it again?
It's hard to love your enemy when they right in front of me.
Night. We love you.
Love you long time.